tonight, just grateful to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm thankful that we have a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. The book of Psalms, chapter 34, the psalmist said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Has the Lord done that for you? Has he saved you from all of your troubles? Amen. I trust in God. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord tonight. He's so good. Glad to be here with the readouts and all you wonderful people. I love you, Jesus. Savior, the one who will never that's loving than I. We appreciate you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your love and your mercy. Oh, let's put our confidence in the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise you, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
He's worthy. Amen. God is so good to us. I'm excited about what God's doing. Amen. It's so good. You may be seated. It's so good to be here with y'all and with the readouts and both families of the readouts and the third family of the readouts and Tom readout. Tom, terrific. It's good to be here with y'all. Amen. Always a pleasure coming back. Y'all are family, so we feel at home. And we don't stress out on coming here unless they make us go through Chicago Airport. But it wasn't that bad this time, amen. And God's been good to us, amen. I'm glad we got here okay, one piece. Thank you for that wonderful food, that meal tonight. And they've treated me so well. I love the Lord, and I'm just so thankful that God reached down and saved me. I'm glad that he gave me that revelation. I'm thankful that I was in a church that didn't try to get me baptized or speak in tongues before I knew who he was. Amen. Yeah. That I would become twofold more a child of hell. Would have tried to left that same night and never came back because I didn't know anything that was going on. But I'm thankful that I was broken by that revelation the first time I stepped through the doors of the church. Amen. And when I saw Jesus, I knew that there was something different in that church. And I interrupted the service. Y'all have heard my testimony. I ran to the altar, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in Jesus' name, but I saw who he was. And when I saw who he was, I found out that God is love. Amen. Because my life was wretched. My life was sorry. I was no good, but he loved me. And I'm here to tell you today that God loves you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happened in your life, he loves you. He loves you more than anything else. You can't love him more than he loves you. It's just not going to work that way. And so I'm so thankful that I can love him back, but I know because he first loved me. Amen. And because he first loved me, I'm able to respond and not react to the things that happen to me in this world. Bad things happen to good people, that's for sure. And we always wonder what in the world that means, but it just means that sometimes things happen, amen? But you know, when you know who Jesus Christ is, you don't have to think it's strange, the fiery trial that's to try you as though some strange thing is happening, but you can rejoice, amen? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Now, even us apostolics, we kind of have a hard time believing that one, amen? We have a hard time believing that all things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good. It says all things work together for good. If you know who he is and you just wait on the Lord, he's going to hear you cry. Amen. I like that song that says, if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory, victory shall be mine. I'm here to tell you that if you're in turmoil, if there's some kind of a trial you're going through, if there's some kind of temptation, if there's doubt, if there's fear, if there's any kind of those things in your life, discouragement, all you got to do is just wait on the Lord, amen, and he's going to give you victory over that. Amen. Man, don't go anywhere. Stay there. He knows where you're at. Let's all stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. And then we'll go to 2 Timothy 3:13, and then Colossians 2, 6 through 9. Again, I want to say that I'm so thankful to be here with Pastor Readout and his wife. Man, I tell you, Pastor John is such a blessing. And I know that I've sat with him, and I know what his heartbeat is. I know what his passion is. And I know what he desires. I know he desires this church to grow. He desires this church to have a revival, but revival isn't the influx of souls. Revival is when we get revived. Because the Bible says when we get revived, the heathen are going to know that he's God in our life. See, that's what brings revival. I've been in California. We've been going for about 4 weeks. And I told them, I said, when we get revived, when we get to praying and acting like a body, I said, people would just drive by. Wouldn't you know, the last service I was in, two people just drove by that never intended to come, walked in there, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Because they heard who Jesus was. And the church went crazy because they realized that revival, and that's what's so sad. I know I got y'all standing, but I'm standing too, so just hang with me. It's so sad that people think revival is an influx of souls. But we got to get to the place where we're revived, to where we see things the way God sees them. And then God's going to let us see sinners the way he sees them. Somebody said, I want to be like Jesus. I said, well, then you got to love people, because Jesus loved people, amen. Don't say you want to be like Jesus if you don't love people. You got to love people. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 11 says, because sentence against the evil work was not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, I want you to remember that. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we see that because judgment isn't executed speedily, that people are fully set on evil, then it tells us in Timothy that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We see that happening today, amen? Then Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. It says, and as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Notice, rooted and built up. Not just coming to church, rooted and built up. You got to be rooted and built up in him. Everybody say him. Amen. Rooted and built up and established in the faith. Not a faith. There's a lot of faiths out there, but you got to be established in the faith. Amen. The faith. And when you're established in faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I doubt if anybody's been taught more than what this church has been taught. Amen. And so I'm here to tell you, you're without excuse because you've been taught. And you got to take heed to what you've been taught. It says, now notice, because it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You got to be thankful for being taught. See, that's what's wrong with our churches. We want to hear a bunch of preaching, and we want to jump and shout and buck, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you got to come to the place that you're rooted and grounded in the teaching and abounding in there, and with thanksgiving. Be thankful that when you hear the Word of God, it comes into you where it's going to give you spiritual growth, amen? Not just an excitement or a zeal, a shout. Man, you can shout all day long, but Teddy Roosevelt said, he told the Rough Riders when he was picking them, I don't care how loud you shout, I want to know how straight you shoot. Amen. God don't care how high you jump or shout, he wants to know how straight you walk when you hit the ground, amen. Yeah. See that? And so it says, with thanksgiving, it says, beware lest any man swallow you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. So there's a lot of people that we're seeing that they're spoiled through philosophy, vain deceit. In other words, they think more highly of themselves, amen. They think that they can get by with what they think they know. They think they can choose and pick what scriptures are relevant and what scriptures aren't relevant, amen. And they get themselves in trouble because they follow traditions of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. We've got to follow Jesus Christ, amen? Because when we do, we're going to find the anchor of our souls and we're going to find the captain of our salvation, amen? Well, I want to know him. I want to understand him, amen? You may be seated. I want to talk to you about a little while tonight about beware of the dead ends of life. Beware of the dead ends of life. I found out that the longer people live for God, the more dead ends they start to run into. Amen. They get excited. I watch new converts jump and shout and clap their hands, and nobody ever took them to the prayer room. Nobody really ever set them down and taught Bible studies. Sister Aver and I got 5-6 people that are coming to our house every Friday night when we're there, and we feed them. And they're all tatted up, man. I mean, they're wild looking. I'm serious. And they were all getting divorces, and now God's putting their marriages are back together. And they sit there, and Sister Abra plays her guitar, and I teach. That's all I do. I sit down on a little stool, and I teach. And man, they just want to teach. They go, wow! When's the last time Pastor John or Pastor Reed got up, and they taught, and you said, wow! Hey, man, I remember when I got the Holy Ghost, every time a preacher got up and hollered, Acts 2:38, about 4 of us would run up there and slap the pulpit, preach! All right. We heard it 100 times, but you know what? It's still real. It's still, that's the way it is, amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we got to understand that you're going to have these highs and lows. Life is full of twists and turns. It's full of highs and lows. But perhaps the most disheartening experience is encountering a dead end. When you come to a dead end, a lot of young people, they come to those dead ends so early in their life because they've only took what their parents told them or their grandparents told them, but they've never really seen Jesus for themselves yet. They've never really understood who he is and how powerful a God he is in their life. They've always gone by what they were told, but now they need to go by what they know, amen? They need to know who he is. So you got to come to the place. It's disheartening when you're encountering dead ends. And when you come to a dead end, you know it's a dead end, amen? I remember when we were on deputation, we had a big old motorhome, and we ended up on a dead end. I'm telling you, it's not easy to turn that baby around on a dead end. Man, Sister Abra had to get out there and kind of guide me, and the kids jumping on the back bed. I had to holler at them, and man, we're trying to get out. That's what happens when you come to a dead end, man. It just seems hopeless. There's nothing there for you anymore. Yeah, it can feel like hitting a brick wall head on, and it leaves you feeling lost and frustrated and uncertain about what to do next. When you come to a dead end, church, when a dead end in your life spiritually, you get frustrated because you don't really understand what's going on, and you're wanting something to happen so bad. But sometimes, I know the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, but the Bible also lets us know through Scripture that the stops of a good man are ordered of the Lord also. Sometimes he stops us. And when you come to the dead end, don't you dare just stare at that thing and wither away and walk out of church and go back. I'm here to tell you the kingdom's that way. When you come to the dead end, you need to do about face, repent if you need to repent. And when you turn around, the kingdom of God is in the opposite direction of that dead end. Amen. If you're there tonight, you need to turn around. The kingdom's this way. Amen. Somebody shout praise the Lord. A dead end typically refers to a situation or circumstances where all available options or paths lead to a point where further progress or advancement is impossible. You can't go any further because it's a dead end. There's no more road. There's no more ability to go forward. Where one feels stuck, unable to move forward or find a solution to the problems at hand. See, that's what happens when you're at a dead end. You don't have the solutions, and you'll never find them because you're not in charge. You'll never find solutions at the dead end because you're not the one that's in charge. God put you there for a reason. Quit looking at it as a negative and look at it as a positive. Amen. And say, you know what? God's got something for me. But I remember when I left him, it was back there. The kingdom of God's back there. You know what I'm saying? Turn around. The kingdom's back there. And see, that's what God's trying to show us tonight. So, however, as we dig into the depths of this topic, let us explore how even in the face of dead ends that God has a purpose that can be found. Amen. God has a purpose for us tonight. Maybe you've come here and you've hit a dead end. Maybe you've come here and you feel stagnant. Maybe you've come here and there's situations in your life that you haven't been able to get past, and you're at that dead end of life. I'm here to tell you that no matter how many dead ends you face, there is still purpose to be found in each one of those dead ends, amen? There was a woman that had an issue of blood, and that was her dead end. She was at a dead end. She done tried everything. She done spent all of her money. She went to all the doctors. She was at a dead end. No doubt she was had her head down and she was leaving, and somebody said, hey, turn around, the kingdom's that way. Quit going to that dead end. You're not going to find it in doctors. You're not going to find it in friends, family. He said, turn around. Why? Jesus is coming. She said, oh, I heard about him. And she turned around from them dead ends, and she moved towards the kingdom. She moved towards Jesus Christ, amen. And she pressed through the crowd, and she was the only one that got healed. You know why? Because she turned around. She understood that I'm not going to stay at this dead end of life. I heard that Jesus heals, and I'm running to him right now. Somebody needs to run to him right now, amen. Somebody needs to just drop what you're doing and run to him. You need to get your heart right with God. You know why? Because if you're hitting a dead end of life, don't stay there because you're going to get discouraged and disappointed. But learn how to turn around. Learn how to do an about face. Learn how to head towards the kingdom, amen. The kingdom's this way. Don't just face that dead end of life. So the woman, she had an issue of blood. She found purpose and pressed through the crowd. First, we've got to acknowledge the reality of dead ends in our life, whether it's in our relationship with God or with others or in our careers, our dreams, financial stress, or even our personal goals. You're going to find that you're going to hit dead ends and all those things, and you need to learn that the dead end isn't where God wants you to be. He just got your attention now. Now you know who you really need, amen? We try to live without God. We try to do things without God. Man, we got credit cards, and we got doctors, and we got everybody that can do all kinds of things for us, but I'm here to tell you right now that you reach that dead end of cancer, and all you got is God. You ain't got anything else, amen? That's like the little boy that heard the doctor tell his dad, said, your wife, she has cancer, she's going to die. And the doctor said, you need to find God. You need to find God. And the little boy left that hospital, and he took off running. He ran all through town, and he found this church, and he ran into the church, and he asked the preacher, he said, does God live here? And the preacher dumbfounded, said, what do you mean? He said, does God live here? And the man said, oh, I don't know. He said, why do you want to know if God lives here? He said, because my mom's dying and the doctor said we got to find God and I want to know, does God live here? I'm here to tell you that I want to ask y'all that same question. Does God live here? Or do we keep him at the dead end of our life, the arm's length away, and we don't let him take us out of that situation? We don't let him turn us around to the kingdom of God, amen? I want to know, does God live here? If God lives here, you're not going to fear the dead ends of life. When you come to one, you realize, I took a wrong turn somewhere, and I'm going to repent, I'm going to get right with God, and I'm going to head in the right direction, amen? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Somebody shout praise the Lord. Secondly, you got to understand what dead ends are. The dead ends is where all avenues seem to close, leaving us feeling trapped and abandoned, amen? Feeling trapped and hopeless, feeling of disappointment, fear, and feeling of uncertainty are some of the emotional tolls that encounter at the dead ends of life. When you get to those places, you get distressed, man. You get all bent out of shape. You just don't see how it's all going to come together. Man, anxiety is killing America. Anxiety is the reason that there's so many people on pills and stuff now. Oh, they're so anxious. I just heard that the Gen Z or Gen X, whatever, which one everyone is now, amen. Somebody said, are you worried about the Gen Zs or the Gen Xs? I said, no, they can't even change a tire. Why would I worry about them? They still live at home with mama. Amen. But you got to understand that you can't allow these things to influence you. You need to understand that God has something for us. And when you come to that dead end, you need to stop right there and say, God, I got to have a little talk with Jesus. I got to tell him all about our troubles. Amen. And when you do, he'll hear your faintest cry. So if we're not careful, these dead ends can produce four conditions. There's four conditions that these dead ends can produce. Number one, the drain condition. Elijah, man, what a mighty man he was. And he was on Mount Carmel, and man, he called fire down, wiped out all the prophets of Jezebel. And man, his sacrifice, man, was the one that God honored and consumed it and just blew everybody away. But he became drained. It took everything out of him. I'm here to tell you that sometimes going to church and being so busy in church and having service after service, you can become drained because you're always giving, but you're not putting anything back in. Ooh, I better back up and hit that one again. You see, you come to church and you clap your hands and you worship God and you have a good service and you come to the altar and you pray, but when you go home, you're drained. You gave everything to that service. You're going to have to replenish yourself now. You're going to have to get on your face and talk to God all over again. But see, what did Elijah do? Man, he became drained. And when he became drained, then all of a sudden Jezebel said, I'm coming after you. What you did to my prophets, I'm going to do to you. So the second condition, when he was drained, if you don't replenish, you're going to become dried out. You don't believe me? Come to Texas and I'll take you to parts of the desert and I'll let you just walk on through the desert and you're going to become drained because you don't have water. And after you're drained, you're going to become dried out. Amen? And that's what happens spiritually. We become drained and we don't replenish and we become dried out. So Elijah became discouraged and he ran from Jezebel's threats. He just called fire down and consumed all these prophets, but now he's running. He's like Nishuk the Beersheba, amen? He went as far away from Jezebel as he could. And then he left his servant there and he went another day's journey in the wilderness because he became drained and dried out, amen? See, when you're dried out, you get discouraged and you begin to run from your problems. You don't turn it to God. You just sit there at the dead end of your life and you complain and you gripe and you don't feel like, well, it's not worth it. I just don't see how God's helping me. He's not giving me what I need. And all along, he's just waiting for you to ask him to give you something you need. He knows what you need, but he ain't going to just flop it on you. You're going to have to get serious with him, amen? So, drained condition. Elijah was drained. He gave out everything he had, man. He gave out everything, and God honored that and consumed the sacrifice. And then he became dried out, and Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you, and he began to run. And notice he became distorted. He became distorted. See, when you become drained, you become dried out. And in a desert, when you're dried out, you get distorted. You see mirages, amen? You get distorted. See, that's where a lot of apostolics are today. They're in a distorted phase of their life because they're still at the dead end, and they've never let God deal with it in their life. And they become drained and dried out and distorted. So what does he do? He sits under a juniper tree and he says, just kill me, God. I'm no better than my fathers. What in the world happened to the guy that was calling fire down? He became drained. Some of y'all been drained for a long time, and some of y'all been dried out, and some of y'all starting to get distorted. You're starting to not believe that God can really change your situation, and you think, I'll just coexist with it. There's no coexisting with anything with God. He's either King of Kings, Lord of Lords, or he's not, amen? He wants to make you free. He wants to set you free. He wants to make you free tonight. So distorted, man, just kill me. I'm no better than my fathers. Notice what he said. He was so distorted. He said, I'm the only one left. Bless his heart. He was at the dead end of his life. I'm the only one living for God. Sometimes you young people think you're the only ones living for God. I got news for you. There's a whole lot of young people on fire for God out there. And God wants you to be on fire because you got the knowledge of who he is. Amen. We're not talking about the fire of just shouting. We're talking about the fire of knowledge and wisdom that God puts down inside of us. Amen. That we can be quick to give every man an answer, amen. That we don't get intimidated when somebody asks us about who Jesus is, amen. My, my, my. And so distorted, and then he comes to the dead end. He's at the dead end now, and here it is, revelation. It was at the dead end of his life that God brought him revelation. God said, let me tell you something, knucklehead. I got 7,000 that haven't bowed a knee. You hear me? 7,000. You're over here mully grubbing around because you're at the dead end of life. But we're fixing to change that. He was drained. He was dried out. He was distorted. And so God let him sleep. Sometimes you got to get rest. You guys that like to play video games, you need to get rest. So he slept. And then he arose, and the Lord fed him. And then he went back to sleep a second time. Notice what it says. Elijah rose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, but he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. But it was at that moment, at the dead end of his life, that God told him to arise, sleep, or eat and sleep. And so he did that. Notice 1 Kings 19:7-8. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You've been at the dead end for so long, Elijah. I want you to arise again a second time, and I want you to eat, amen, and I want you to go forward. You hear what he's talking about right here? And the Bible says, and he arose, and he did eat and drink, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. In other words, God said, I'm gonna take care of this situation, this dead end of your life. Twice he said, I want you to rise, eat, and he said, now it's time time to go. You know why it's time to go? He said, because I'm going to give you something that's going to last 40 days. 40 days. That sustained him. When you're at the dead end of life, you need to just sit down. And you need to rest in the Lord. You need to eat the word of God. You need to put it inside of you. And then all of a sudden, God's going to show you exactly who he is. And he says he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. I'm here to tell you that he got Elijah out of the dead ends of his life. Amen. He got him out of that dead end of Jezebel, and he wasn't worried about it anymore. And he went on to do what God called him to do. I'm here to tell you that it's not a shame that if you get drained and dried out and distorted. What a shame is when you get to the dead end of your life, you don't turn it over to Jesus Christ. You don't let him take charge of your life. Amen. Here's an illustration. Joseph seemingly faced the dead end being cast into prison. But because of his faithfulness, God intervened. See, when you're faithful at the dead ends of your life and you stay faithful, God intervened. And he intervened in this situation, turning what seemed like a dead end into opportunity for redemption and growth, which, notice, it produced his rise to the power of Egypt. He was risen up because of that, because he didn't stay at that dead end of life. He didn't let that situation get a hold of him. He had a little talk with God, amen, and God changed his situation. And he became one of authority, amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. There's a scripture in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 5. It reads, I will cut off, that means utterly consume. He said, I will cut off them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm or Molech. He said, I swear I'm going to cut them off that they worship and swear after the Lord and Molech. In other words, they thought they could have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, amen? But God said, no, they don't work that way. I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to consume you, amen? So, and this scripture was God's final warning to the people of Judah. This was his final warning. He said, that's enough. I'm sorry, but I'm fixing to cut you off. It essentially boils down to the matter, Brother Rita, of thought and imagination involving one or more of three related errors that was taking place. Number one, defining God as less than who and what he has revealed himself to be. Number two, defining God as different from who and what he has revealed himself to be. And number three, defining the creature as greater than it is in comparison to who and what God has revealed himself to be. Amen. Simply stated, idolatry is thinking of God as something or someone he has not revealed himself to be. Amen. You can play church. You can play religion. You can say I'm apostolic or Pentecostal, but you better know who he is. Amen. Because when you know him, things are going to happen. Things are going to take place because you see him. And you're broken by that revelation, there's nothing that can stop you. There's not a habit, there's not a problem, there's not a situation that can break you down, because I know him, I understand him, amen? And I'm going to worship him that way. So for this reason, it's imperative that we examine God's revelation of himself in the Bible to identify and worship him properly. We got to worship him properly. Even at the dead ends of life, we got to worship him properly. But Brother Abraham, I'm so down. Why are you down? Because you won't look up. Boy, those dead ends, man. Brother Abraham, man, look at that situation in front of me. I don't know what you're talking about. Because God can take care of that. But you're going to have to repent and turn around. The kingdom's this way. You can't keep bumping your head against the same thing and the same thing and the same thing day after day, month after month, year after year, and complain that God's not answering your prayers. It's because you haven't repented and turned around, because the kingdom's this way. It's not at the dead end. You got to turn around from that dead end and head towards the kingdom, amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. See, so the church is full of people who call themselves Christians and worship Jehovah with their mouths, but their hearts are with the world and the sin therein. Amen. Their lives have reached a dead end. They come to church. They sing the songs. They lift their hands. They pray prayers. They return to the world unchanged. How many times have we done that, young people? How many times have we reached the dead end and we come and we'll go through the motions, we'll clap our hands, we'll sing, and we'll even worship a little bit, but we leave unchanged because we're still looking at the dead end. We have not looked up at who Jesus is. We haven't turned around and went back from whence we came, amen, and said, you know what? I know when they looked for Jesus, they had to go back to the temple to find him, amen. But they found him in the temple. I'm here to tell you that you can always find Jesus when you're at the dead in life in church. Just get back to church. Turn around. The kingdom's this way, amen. God wants to do something special in y'all. So you got to understand, sooner or later, trouble strikes in their lives, and they don't have a stable foundation on which to stand or to hold on to. That's where a lot of people are. A lot of apostolics, they're apostolic only in name. They're not apostolic in their actions and their love for God. They don't love what God loves. They're not as exciting about. Man, Paul was always excited. Man, he had a lot of dead ends, but they didn't stay that way. Amen. And I love reading about the Apostle Paul. Amen. The trouble's going to have insecurity, helplessness, hopelessness characterizes the feeling of coming to a dead end in your life. It's kind of like this. You go to a pond and you take a rock and you skip that rock out of that pond, and what happens? It creates ripples. And it's kind of like that. It creates ripples. So what do? You go down to the pond and you feel sorry for it, so you get on your knees and you start patting it calmly, trying to calm it down from the ripples. And what do? You create more ripples. See, when you're at the dead ends of life and you don't give it to Jesus Christ and you try to do it yourself, you're creating more problems, amen? God's not able to change that situation because you're trying to do it, but you don't have the power to do it, amen? If you had the power to do it, you wouldn't be at the dead end to start off with. But God's trying to show you that he's the one that's in charge, amen? He can change that situation. That's what all of us do when we try to straighten out our lives by ourselves, amen? We wind up making things worse. We wind up coming to a dead-end roads of our life. Now, notice the point. Unfortunately, they discovered that there is no one on earth to have their to give their troubles to. See, that's the problem. When you're at the dead ends of life, you don't know, you don't have anybody to give your troubles to because you're not relying on Jesus. No one will come and relieve you from your burdens and your pains because you're at the dead end of life. You're looking at a blank wall. You're looking at something that's a stronghold in your life, and you won't turn around because the kingdom's that way. You won't let God change that situation. You just gripe about it in the situation you're in. No one to lean on for strength and wisdom. These are the dead ends of our lives. Did you know you can be on top of the world of your life and still come to a dead end? I know a lot of wealthy people that come to dead ends in their life, amen, and they lose everything. These are the dead ends of their lives. Did you know that you can do that? Look at Nebuchadnezzar, who was an unbeliever. He was unstable even though he was king and controlled the vast kingdom. Notice, man, this guy had a vast kingdom. He was a king, amen. And so we see him when something extraordinary happened, his first reaction was alarm. All of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar was at the height of power as a mighty ruler, but where power is based on what is visible, there's no foundation. So he had visible power. You could see the power he had, but there was no foundation. And so when the writing came on the wall, he got all troubled. His life came to a dead end. All of a sudden, he's at a dead end of life. All of a sudden, he don't know what he's going to do. And Nebuchadnezzar felt that his whole existence was threatened, and he was extremely alarmed by this dream. And I want you to understand that the unbeliever is powerless to understand what God is saying. Unbelievers cannot understand what God is saying, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. There's people in this world, don't get upset with them. Don't get frustrated with them. They just don't know. But I know, and I can't reach them if I'm at a dead end myself, amen? But if I turn around and head back to Jesus Christ and get a hold of this thing with all my heart, God will show them who he is, amen? Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand his dream from God, but he sensed that the living God had spoken to him. You hear what I'm saying? He didn't understand the dream, but he knew that God was talking to him. But he was unable to understand what was said, except the Lord wasn't pleased. He knew the Lord wasn't pleased with him. He had that much sense to know that the Lord wasn't pleased with him. God met Nebuchadnezzar at the dead ends of his life and spoke to him. So thankfully, God meets us, meets each of us at our dead ends of our lives, places and times when there seems to be nowhere to turn and nowhere to go, amen? That's when God meets us, when we're at a dead end, when we feel like we just can't go any further. Church, we should never be down and out. We should always be worshiping God. We should always be excited about God. When we walk through those doors, we need to be thankful. We need to worship him. We need to exalt him, amen? But Brother Abraham, at a dead end of life, you don't have to be there. God can change that situation. So we're always going to meet you at the dead end of your lives, amen? Places and times when there seem to be nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, God's going to find you. He found me in a four-story window in Frankfurt, Germany, Freiburg, Germany, in 1979. That's when he found me. At a dead end of my life, I was fixing to jump. I was going to kill myself. There was no hope. I was at the dead end. There was nothing to live for. My dad died, 46. I was mad. I hated everybody. But God always finds a way to speak to us with his love. It was in that window that all of a sudden I felt something pull me out of that window, and I sat down on that bunk bed. And when I sat down on that bunk bed, I began to cry. And that's when I said, God, if you're real, get me out of this place and I'll serve you. Just get me out of this place, Lord. You see, it was God's love that pulled me out of the dead ends of my life. I was faced at that window and I was fixed to jump four stories up. But God loved me so much that he pulled me down and set me down. And then all of a sudden my heart broke and it melted in the presence of God. You see, a lot of people, they get mad. Well, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Well, the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Well, why does it say God hardened Pharaoh's heart? Because the presence of God, when it shines, if sun shines on clay and shines on wax, what happens to the wax? It melts. What happens to the clay? It hardens. God's spirit shined on Moses and it shined on Pharaoh. Pharaoh's heart hardened. Moses melted, amen. I'm here to tell you that you do not have to have a hard heart. You don't have to give in to the things of this world. My God wants you to melt in his presence. When you're at the dead end of life, let God melt you, amen. Let God mold you. We never understand what a truly wonderful counselor God is until we're in a difficult, painful time when things go wrong, confusing circumstances. That's when we need him the most. And it was at the dead ends of life where God begins to change situations. Remember, those who swore by God and Molech, they were double-minded. In the world, a double-minded person is despised. But you don't like double-minded people, do you? You like double-minded people? You like people tell you something, but don't do it, tell you something, don't do it. You like those? No, they're despised. That's just common sense. To God, such a person is despicable to the last degree. Notice James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So how should divine justice spare the sinner who knows what's right, approves it, and professes to follow it, and all the while he loves the world and gives it dominion in his heart? How you've got to have judgment. Just because it's not executed speedily does not mean execution's not coming. Amen? Ooh, I want you to get that. I want you to understand that, amen? That's important. Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. To have one foot in the land of truth and the other in the sea of falsehood involves a terrible fall. You're going to find yourself shipwrecked, amen? Jesus will be all things or he'll be nothing. If he reigns in our hearts, there will be no space for anything else to reign in that. When you see a glass that's full, if you get a glass, not a plastic glass, you get a glass and you fill it full, it actually goes above the rim, doesn't it? Has a little bubble on top. That's when you know the glass is full. And see, if you tried to pour something else in it, it would just roll off the top because it's full. And that's why God wants us to be full of the Holy Ghost. So that when the world tries to pour something in it, it just rolls right off. That we don't allow it to take root in our hearts and our minds. That it doesn't dictate how we feel or how we worship. Amen? Yeah. So remember the text stated that sentence against evil is not executed immediately, but please understand it is executed. God is already speaking to some of you tonight. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God's trying to show you that you don't have to be at that dead end anymore. Whatever you're faced with, whatever situation is there, whatever frustration, whatever disappointment, whatever anxiety, whatever grief is coming your way, God said you don't have to stay there. It doesn't have to be a part of your life. Amen. You may not understand exactly what he's saying, but you sense that he's speaking to you tonight. I'm here to tell you God's speaking to us tonight. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to know who he is. But when you say you know who he is, do you really know who he is? Do you really know him and understand him? You know he's worth more than your riches, more than your worldly knowledge, more than your strength to know him and understand him? There's no such thing as a casual conversation or chance meeting with God. Because of God's love for you, he will find a way to speak to you. He'll find a way to speak to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. For each of you comes a moment when you suddenly realize that the message was just for you. It isn't any of those things nobody told me anything about anybody in the church, and I hadn't been listening to your phone calls or spying on your activities. It's not any of those things. It's God speaking to you because he knows you and your situation. Suddenly the light comes on and you realize that the whole choir was singing for you. You understand that heaven is waiting for you. That Jesus died on the cross for you. And in that moment, your mouth drops open. You say, this is for me. This means me, amen. Turn around. The kingdom's this way. Quit looking at that dead end of life. Quit looking at the disappointments and the discouragements and the failures that are ahead of you. Turn around. The kingdom's this way, amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. When you discover what God is really like, you find out that he's love. And he loves you. This little girl, she was in school. She was drawing. Everybody was drawing and coloring. And the teacher came by and asked the little girl, says, what are you drawing? She said, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher kind of snickered a little bit and says, honey, nobody knows what God looks like. She said, they will when I get finished with this drawing. Amen. You see, the point of that was through the dead ends of life, you begin to see what God looks like. When you come to the dead end of life, you see what God looks like. He is love. He loves you. I said he loves you. He loves you right where you're at. And he wants you to understand if you're at a dead end, turn around. The kingdom's this way. Be like the woman with the issue of blood. Turn around and come to Jesus. Amen. That's what God's trying to show us here tonight. God's trying to show us that you begin to sense that you're special and that God loves you. And it's a great feeling to meet God that is a loving father unto you. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Through faith, perseverance, and willingness to trust in God's plan, we can navigate through even the worst challenging circumstances and find purpose beyond dead ends. Let us hold on to the promises that God is always with us, guiding us through the darkest valley and leading us beside the still waters. Maybe you came here tonight. Maybe you came here expecting something to happen because you're at a dead end. You've been facing something and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. You're struggling with your faith. You're struggling with what you know I need to do, but I just can't seem to go forward. There's this wall in front of me. There's this dead end. And it seems like the more I stay there, the more I worry, and the worse the situation gets. And then you start thinking with your humanity. You start thinking about humanly things you can do to try to get yourself out of that. You can't get yourself out of it. You got to turn to Jesus. You got to turn to Jesus today. Maybe you're just discouraged. Maybe things aren't going the way you want them to go. Anxiety. Disappointment. Maybe you came here today and you're in the drained condition. Take care of it right now. Come to this altar and replenish what you're lacking. Maybe you're dried out. Maybe it's been a long time since you were moved on by the Spirit of God and you began to commune with Him. Maybe things are being distorted in your life and you just don't see any possible way out. Are you at the dead ends of life? Are you at a place right now to where you know that I need to get a hold of God? I need to turn around and I need to start heading in the opposite direction because the kingdom's this way. If you're bumping your head against against the dead ends of life, you need to turn around. You need to come this way. The kingdom's this way. And Jesus loves you so much, you young people. You need to come to the place to where you understand that what God has for you, it's real. You can't rely on mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. You can't rely on your brothers and sisters. You got to make sure that you're not at the dead ends of life. Are you drained today? Are you dried out? Are things getting distorted? You're right where God wants you. Because God's going to change that situation tonight. If you'll come to this altar and you'll seek God with your heart, God will change the dead ends of your life. He will take you out of that situation. He will remove those problems, but you're going to have to do it. He can't do it for you. You're the one that got to the dead end, but you got to turn around. The kingdom's this way. Young people, young teen, turn around. The kingdom's this way. If you're faced with situations, church, if you're faced with sickness, if you're faced with disappointment, discouragement, turn around. The kingdom's this way. Walk away from the dead ends of life. Come on, the Word of God speaks. Come on up here and let God pour down like rain. Come on, come on, come on. Turn around. The kingdom of God's this way. If there's something you need to repent of it right now.
You're in this
you know who Jesus Christ is.
Please let me stay.
Repent right now and give it to Him, and you know that He will wash you and cleanse you.
Word of God,
if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will take you away from those dead ends of life. Be still and know
that you're in this place.
Come on, come on, come on.
Please let me stay.
Come on, if you reach the dead ends of life,
your holiness,
it's time to turn to life and life more abundantly. Turn to Jesus right now.
Pour down like rain.
Come on, young people.
Washing my
come on, teenagers. Oh.
Your majesty.
Come on, teenagers, fight through.
Be still and know
fight through.
That you're in
declare your love for God.
Please let me stay.
Come on, teenagers, declare your love for Jesus Christ right now. Man, talk to Him right now. Let Him speak to you. If there's doubt, young people, turn to Him. Let Him give you the answers. It'll come in the form of a revelation of who He is. Every problem you have can be resolved by being broken again with a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ. On April 9th, when I saw Him, I turned away from that dead ends of life.
Be still and know that
I ran to the kingdom of God.
Please let me stay.
Oh, somebody needs to let God get a hold of them. Come on, God's talking to you. Are you dead end? Is there a situation you haven't been able to conquer?
Washing my eyes. Your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this.
Come on, find God.
Please let me stay.
Come on, lift your hands and worship Jesus Christ right
in
now.
Your holiness.
He's the way, the truth,
Word
and the life.
God speak.
Jesus, I love
Lord,
you.
How like rain.
I'm nothing without you, Lord.
Washing my eyes to see.
Come on.
Your
There's a destiny in your life.
To be still
your destiny is not a dead end. Your destiny is the kingdom of God.
Please
your destiny is to worship Him
in
spirit and in truth.
In your holiness,
your destiny is to reach out to Him.
God speak.
Come on, you're destined for greatness.
Lord, like
if you can see Him, if you can understand Him. Come on, young people, you teenagers, you're destined for greatness.
Be still and know.
Come on.
That you're in
you're not destined to a drained and dried out, distorted
Please
life.
Let me stay and rest.
You're destined for a revelation.
In your holiness, what a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is.
Come on. Come on, when you get that revelation, when you're at a dead end and you get that revelation, all you can do is say, woe is me, Lord. Woe is me.
Nothing compares to this.
And God will change that situation. He'll remove that dead end.
What a beautiful name.
Oh, what a beautiful name it is. Come on. Come on, don't be so quick to dismiss it now. Come on, talk to Him. Come on, talk to Him.
What a beautiful name.
I want that revelation.
Nothing compares.
I want that anointing.
What a beautiful name it is.
Destiny is what you have. Destiny is what you have.
What a beautiful name it is.
Halabasata la bahata maha. Come on.
The name of Jesus Christ,
my King.
What a beautiful name.
Oh, is it a beautiful name to
Nothing
you?
Compares to this.
Is it a beautiful name to you?
What a beautiful name it
Friend,
is.
I don't want to sit
the
back. Man, I want to give
Jesus.
My life to Jesus every day,
what
Lord.
A powerful name
I want to die
is.
Daily.
What a powerful name.
So that I can be resurrected in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Man, I want to have a testimony.
What a powerful name it is.
I want people to see
nothing can stand against
Jesus in me.
What a powerful name.
When He's sanctified in me.
The name of Jesus.
Sinners are going to know that Jesus is here.
What a powerful name it is.
Come on.
The name
Come on.
Of Jesus,
the name of Jesus.
Christ, my King.
Come on. He loves you.
What a powerful
He cares
name
about
it
you.
Is.
Nothing can stand
against.
Come on, young men.
What
Come
a
on, young men.
Name it is.
Come on, young
the
men.
Name of
Let the anointing
Jesus.
Of God fall on you.
What a powerful name it is.
Let the anointing of God fall on
powerful
you. Come on, you're destined to stand against the things of this world.
Nothing can stand against.
This church is destined.
What a powerful name it is.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, this church is destined.
What a powerful name it is.
Oh, let God use you.
The name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is.
What a powerful name it is. Come on, can you love him?
Oh, how
He loves you. Can you lift your hands now and love him? Can you lift your hands and love him because he loves you? He loves you more than anything else. Come on, you young men, that's it. That's it. Pray. Oh, come on, teenagers. He loves you. You've seen him work in your life, teenagers. You've seen him work in your life. Just lift your hands and love him now. Just love him.
He loves us.
Oh, he loves us.
Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Hallelujah.
Oh, how he loves us.
Hallelujah. Come on, Tom. He loves you.
Oh, how he loves us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Hallelujah. He loves us.